Well, perhaps I have something in common with Swaraj, that we both came here from Surrey. And when I first came here, I was told by an incumbent about being an incomer. And he said, Suffolk people will say something like this: we'll summer you and we'll winter you, and then we'll tell you what we think of you. I'm still waiting to hear what they think. Well, let's pray as we look at God's word. Father, as we briefly look at your word this morning, I just acknowledge that there's an awful lot in it that it could say to us today from the life of Joseph. So I just want you, Father, to use my words to speak to everyone this morning. Will you be the one who speaks to us? May your spirit guide us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought I'd better have a multicolour cloak, but all the multicolours seem to have gone. But it did remind me of a vicar who once said to me, I think we need more colour in the church. Let's wear our academic hoods and robes. I thought to myself, you don't want to see me in my academic robes because I'm just going to upstage you. So let's forget the idea. But that was one of the thoughts that occurred to me earlier on. What I want to do this morning is just share with you three thoughts which I hope you'll be able to take away and look at the scriptures, look at Genesis chapter 37, and ponder upon them for yourselves. We've heard already in the Open the Book reading about the complicated family that Joseph lived in. We've heard about the colourful coat, and we've alluded to what is the cost of slavery. So let's start with the complicated family. A lot of this has already been covered in the reading and what Owen shared with us through all the tribes. We have Joseph's father, Jacob, married to four wives, got 12 children, and that's just a complicated family. I'd find having more than one wife difficult. But we come to all of this with Joseph as a man of God. Now the Bible, in the passages that we're going to be looking at for the next few weeks, doesn't actually say very much about God or the Lord. Owen picked up one of the phrases right at the end of the Genesis, in Genesis 50. But we do know that Joseph was a man of faith. We learn this from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11:22 says, by faith Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. The writer to the book of Hebrews sees Joseph as a man of faith. And we want to learn in the next few weeks about this man of faith. We're introduced to him in Genesis 37 as a teenager, 17 years old, a bit like Swaraj coming to this country. We've heard about his complicated family. But I wonder whether, as a 17-year-old teenager, he was much like any 17-year-old teenager today. He wanted to make a mark for himself. But I wonder whether, at that age, He'd actually got the wisdom to do that. Because we notice that in verses 1 and 2 and 3, as we look at the family life, there is a lot of tension. There is a lot of rivalry. Was rivalry between all of Jacob's wives. And that probably just filtered down into the family. The family were shepherds. We hear that the sons of the slave girls, who were actually out in the fields looking after the sheep, they were rogues. And Joseph reports their bad doings. We don't know what the bad doings were. Back to his father. Well, you can see here's trouble brewing in the family. And then along come the dreams. And Joseph shares his dreams of ruling over the family with his brothers. Well, it's just like adding fuel to the fire of the family feuding. The tensions just mount up. So perhaps he's not really very wise as a 17-year-old in trying to make a mark for himself. I like the summary that the Living Bible gives of the family situation, the translation of verses 4 and 5. His brothers, of course, noticed their father's partiality and consequently hated Joseph. They couldn't say a kind word about him. One night, Joseph had a dream and promptly reported the details to his brother, causing even deeper hatred. This is no saintly family. This is a complicated family. This is a family in conflict. The Bible deals with real world situations. Joseph's brothers may not have understood him or even wanted to understand the interpretation of his dreams. But as far as his brothers were concerned, Joseph was the problem in the family. And in a sense, and as we look through Joseph's life, we can see parallels between Joseph and Jesus. Because Jesus' family didn't understand him. In St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 21, we find that the family came, they wanted to take charge of Jesus. Because they said, he's out of his mind. So it's a complicated family. And then there's the colourful coat. We've heard something about the family situation already. Joseph was the son of Rachel by Jacob. Rachel was the number one wife in Jacob's eyes, but he was tricked into marrying Leah beforehand. But then he was allowed to marry Rachel. For many years, Rachel was unable to have children. So Joseph was born later in Jacob's life. And because Rachel was the favoured wife, I think Joseph became the favoured son. He was the father's blue-eyed boy. And Jacob gave him this richly decorated coat. Now everyone had a coat, a cloak in those days. It was something to wear. It was used for carrying things in. Everyone had one. But most of people's cloaks were knee-length, short-sleeved, plain. Unlike Joseph's, which was more like the cloak worn by royalty or important people. It was colourful. It was ankle length. It was long sleeve. And wearing this cloak, someone would have been very, very obvious. Put it another way. It's almost the sign of a manager as opposed to a worker. Of course, this got up the noses of the brothers. Favoritism is something which can easily happen in families. But let's in our own families beware of favoritism. We can attempt to be equitable to our children as we possibly can. But there are times when the children will actually see favoritism being put to one of their siblings. It's a perceived thing. But maybe there's another parallel with the life of Jesus. Perhaps not favoritism, but a well-favoured son. Twice God the Father spoke of Jesus at his baptism and his transfiguration about him being a beloved son. Matthew chapter 3 verse 17, at the baptism of Jesus, a voice from heaven said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." But God could equally say these words to us. If we are a follower of Jesus, if we're a child of God, a son and daughter of God, then our Heavenly Father could speak these words of confirmation and encouragement to us. That he loves us. That he is pleased with us. Can't guarantee that as a child of God we'll get a multicoloured, ornamented coat. But what I do learn from the book of Revelation is that we too, as followers of Jesus, will be given special robes. Revelation 19 verse 8. We will be given fine linen, bright and clean, and these will be robes of righteousness. So a complicated family, a colourful coat. But then there's the cost of slavery. I wonder what you'd do if you've got an issue with someone. Well, one way would be to be thinking about, well, you know, what is behind this issue? And maybe then you would, speak to the person and discuss the issue with them. Try and negotiate to to find a resolution of the problem. Well, there's one way of tackling it. The brothers don't go down that route. We have a problem, and the problem is with the person. Let's deal with the person. Think about that in the wider context of our world today. In the politics of our world. In the business side of our world. There's a problem. We'll deal with the person. We'll get rid of them. And that's the approach that Joseph's brothers took with him. Well demonstrated in the open the book reading, with the Midianite traders coming along, and Joseph's brothers, who wanted to kill him, they'd put him in the cistern, and later they were going to kill him. Oh, here's an opportunity to make some money. Let's sell him as a slave. So Joseph is sold for 20 pieces of silver. That was the price of a slave of Joseph's age. Problem dealt with. Oh, let's, if we tell a few porky pies, be a little bit economical with the truth, we'll dip his cloak in blood and take it back to Father. Then Father can make a decision on what's happened to his son. But it's that 20 pieces of silver, the cost of slavery. There is a parallel with Jesus. Or two parallels with Jesus. The first, Judas, was paid 30 pieces of silver. Okay, not the same number, but money changed hands to hand Jesus over to the authorities. But prior to that, right at the beginning of Jesus' age, because Herod was paranoid about people taking over power for him, that he decided to kill all the boys under 5 years old. And Jesus, with Joseph and Mary, had to flee to Egypt. But Joseph, this one person, sold into slavery for those 20 pieces of silver. And you think about it, that is the first step to the whole nation of Israel being enslaved in Egypt. But that's the beginning. Because then, as Moses comes along, there is the salvation from that slavery. When God brings about the Exodus. Not wishing for a spoiler for the weeks to come, we know that Joseph was imprisoned. He's really at the rock bottom of his roller coaster life. I wonder if he languished in prison thinking, what if? What if I'd been a little more sensible in sharing my dreams? What if I'd been a little more diplomatic in maybe flouting the colourful coat that I was wearing? What if I'd actually given in to the seduction from Potiphar's wife? What if, you ever had a what if question about your own life? I certainly have. What if I'd taken that job in America what would have happened? What if I'd have studied psychology rather than chemistry? I wonder what would have happened. You've probably got your own what-if questions. But I close with one thought. That if your life is in God's hands, it's not the what-if that you need to be thinking about. It's the what-is. Where you are now is because of God. What is in his hands. Amen.